Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network with you guys here on a Monday morning. And tonight, Trevor, I am so ready for the triumph, not only of the Pittsburgh Steelers, but of my bet with you and the Twitter avatar that you will have.
Do you already have it? You already have it picked out?
I have a couple options narrowed down.
Man, see, it's tough because, you know, I'm going to pick a good one when the Bucks win. I'm sorry, when the Bucks beat the Steelers. When the Bucks beat the Steelers so bad that they give him Le'Veon Bell and he just, you know, stays
free
in Tampa.
At this point.
The problem is that, like, I've had a couple people be like, oh, make him have the Fitzpatrick at the podium thing. But that's awesome. Right. Like, why would I let you have a cool image? I want you having a bad image. The Fitzpatrick at the podium thing is like the greatest thing to happen this year.
That's exactly. I literally said that. Somebody tweeted, I was like, this would be an honor. Like, you know, it's got to be
something. No, I'm not letting you do that.
Yeah, it's got to be something bad. So, I mean, yeah, I've got a couple things picked out. I mean, it's hard to know like exactly what direction to go in it. Do you want like an embarrassing, do I want like an embarrassing Steelers avatar for you? Or do I want like a terrible moment in Bucks history avatar for you? Or
we got a lot of them,
know? Right? Right.
They are rich. That franchise is rich in moments.
I mean, something could happen in the game tomorrow night. You know, somebody could straight up dunked on.
Could take the internet by storm.
And you never know. You got to always be ready for the memes. I know that's the brand that you live by.
I will be ready. I will be ready by the time that clock hits zero. Okay, maybe not when the clock hits zero. It might have to be afterwards, like the next day. But we're going to be ready. It's going to be ready.
Right. Well, we usually talk about rookie performances today. So I guess we should do that. I have had a couple people, and by a couple, I mean basically the entire city of Buffalo in my mentions, telling me that Josh Allen was truly elite and on his way to the Hall of Fame. No, I don't want to make light of it. They've said he's good. I don't know. Some people think he's probably on his way to the Hall of Fame. Others are just like, no, he was legitimately awesome today. I only saw a couple plays in the game, so like I guess I'm about to comment on something I can't really comment on yet, but I'm going to comment on further later in the week. I mean, certainly the numbers: 15 to 22, 196 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. I know the Vikings fans that Trey Wayne's dropped a for sure pick that would have changed the whole game. I heard you on Twitter. Sacks, he got sacked three times. You know, that protection hasn't been great there for sure. I thought it was okay against the Chargers, though. I'll have to look at the tape and see how many of those were on him. And, you know, so I think that obviously, and he did great things with his legs, which we expect, you know, that was never a real question with him. That was actually,
I mean, I didn't expect him to leap Anthony Barr. Let me tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, that was obviously a nice play. You know, I
don't
mean,
try to downplay this, John.
I'm not. I mean, it was a nice play, but did it tell you anything about Josh Allen?
Like, it told you he just looks like a quarterback.
See, that's exactly.
He's just a winner.
A big plus for
He'll
me.
He'll do
Josh
whatever
Allen.
It takes.
But you're saying that like corny, but that was honestly like a big, like that was one of the reasons why I had him in the third round. And why, like, and remember,
is
I don't.
A winner?
Yeah, no, not the winner part, but like the leader part. I mean, he obviously wasn't a winner, so. But the leader part, yeah, I mean, like the fortitude kind of, you know, like I think he's tough. I think he's doesn't back down from the physical challenges of the game. Like, I don't think he plays scared. And I like that about him. And he scored very high in intangibles for me based on everything I could know,
of course,
you know, from my perspective, in my numerical evaluations, which is an important part of quarterback play. So I actually, and the fact that he showed strides at the, you know, at the Senior Bowl, and then again did some okay things at the combine. You know, I thought that there was improvement there, and I was like, okay, this guy, you know, he's taking his craft seriously. He's heard the criticism. Like, he's not just going to try and play his way no matter what. So I think there's going to be some desire from his part to play within structure more and to be more of a disciplined quarterback. So that was why I was like, this is the guy you take a shot on day two. Like, yeah, I didn't. You know, I know some analysts were like, he's Christian Hackenberg, or like, it's that situation all over again. Don't even draft him, you know, play him in another position. You know,
think he was that bad.
Right. Like there was never that with Josh Allen.
I mean, he was QB5 for us.
Right. Yeah. But good luck telling anybody else that, you know, they hear not of, you know, not, wouldn't have taken him in the top 10. And
look, I've said this for a while with Josh Allen. And I even said this before draft day about Josh Allen. If he was a, like, a day two kind of guy, like a late day two kind of guy, we would all love him.
Early
like he
day
would
two.
Literally, he would literally be everyone's favorite prospect if he was going in the, let's just say, like third or fourth round.
Right.
He would literally be everybody's favorite sleeper prospect. Everybody's.
Right.
But it was the fact that he was going top 10, and it was like, okay, well, when you look at the statistics and the value proposition of a top 10 guy, you're not only looking for him to compete year one, you're kind of looking for top 10 quarterbacks to start almost within the first 10 weeks, depending on situations.
Sure.
And so certainly coming from Wyoming and not really having a lot of success in Wyoming, making that jump from the NFL, we're all kind of like, let's pump the brakes on Josh Allen being a good NFL quarterback right away, especially in a top 10, you're going to start him really early. That was the thing. Josh Allen's talent. I mean, if you picked him third or fourth round, like I said, we'd all love him. He would be our big. I would have had no problem
with the team taking him in the same range Hackenberg was taking it. And I thought that the Hackenberg pick was a disaster when it happened. But that's what people compare. Some people said they were the same thing.
After the bid happened, too.
Right. So it was just a disastrous way. I didn't feel that way about Josh Allen. Like, I thought Josh Allen could legit play. He just needed a great situation. He needed great coaching. He needed a great structure. Or he could easily go the other way. You know, so that's always been kind of. And again, sure, do we, along with everybody else, make jokes about the whole Josh Allen thing? Yeah, because when people who had him QB1 and thought he should go number one overall, when they talked about Josh Allen and their evaluations, they talked about his size, his ability to play outside of structure and make crazy off-platform throws down the field, and his athleticism and like his cannon arm. You know, those things are never – like those are not what make a good quarterback in the NFL. And if Josh Allen's going to be successful, those will not be the staples of his game. Like there will be the advances in other areas that have carried him to success, and that was the issue. So like, yeah, sure, when the opportunity came up to like – rip on the fact that people thought his hand size was a leading reason for his, you know, or the fact that he looks like a quarter. I mean, how many times do we hear that? That's obviously going to get taken shots at. I think a lot of people misinterpreted and took those things as shots at Josh Allen. And that is not surprising.
I mean, I thought he was going to struggle.
I think I'm not backing down from that at all.
I thought he was going to struggle big time.
No, and I think he will. I think he absolutely will. And you know,
I think he did early on. Last week, the week before, whatever.
First time he got on the field, week one, and then week two was honestly a disaster. Like I wrote about, and like I was talking about, and broke down a bunch of his plays on Twitter, and you know, it was very bad. But that's the thing that I said that day. It's just one game. And like you can say that his performance was bad that day and like was terrible that day, but like understand that that's okay because it's all about where Josh Allen's going. No one expected him to hit the ground running, so it shouldn't be overly concerning. But it's like you have to accept it. Like these are the things that we missed. And I saw one play from the game. He missed post wheel, either missed it or threw a terrible pass on it, two or three times against the Chargers. The Bills were determined to run that sucker until he hit it. I think the Vikings got on it the first week of the season, I think, too. And so the Bills saw it. They said, we're going to keep coming back to it. And sure enough, they hit the wheel for a touchdown in the first quarter. I mean, dude was wide open, so it was an easy throw. But, like, you're seeing it. Like, you know, it's starting to happen for you a little bit more upstairs. And so, I mean, yeah, it's encouraging and that kind of stuff's good. So I'm excited to look to his full tape. I do absolutely expect him to struggle. Everything I've seen so far has been a struggle. I'm excited to look at this game because of the numbers and on the surface, it definitely looks a lot better for sure. So hopefully it's a sign of good things to come for Buffalo because that fan base is avid and it would be really fun to see them get a good quarterback.
Yep.
What other rookies stood out to you as you watched? Tremaine Edmonds had 10 tackles. I did see he broke up a pass. Well, he had a big hit that led to an interception. I know he was really, really rough in week two, so it was a kind of a bounce back for both of the Bills' big rookies. So that's obviously huge for Buffalo. I think that's for sure moving in the right direction for Buffalo. Who else did? I mean, it's been a linebacker battle. Fred Warner and Darius Leonard. Have you been able to see either of these guys?
I haven't been able to see them as much as you have. But I mean, from everything that you've been telling me and that I've been reading and I've been seeing, Fred Warner's been a stud.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you knocked it out of the park. It wasn't just I knew that the BYU faithful was pumping up some scouting reports that you had early on. In the offseason. So
right.
I guess all your Fred Warner praise was more than just about pumping up some BYU fans, I guess it was pretty real, huh?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He is the real deal. He's a stud. Two more tackles for loss today. His tape has been absolutely awesome. Darius Leonard is like the opposite story for me. You know, Warner was my guy, and I kind of trumpeted him, and no one talked about him the whole draft process, it felt like. So I feel really great about him starring. Darius Leonard, I wrote about him last week and how, like, what the heck happened? Like, his athletic testing at his pro day was bad, and I guess somebody tweeted to me the other day and said he had an injury at his pro day, and that was in, I guess, after they drafted him. Ballard said that, and so they trusted him off the combine and Senior Bowl stuff. So that's kind of frustrating, because obviously for small school guys, you really want to be able to trust the testing, because they look like better athletes, you would assume, anyway, on tape. So how good of an athlete are they? Because they're not playing against great athletes, so it's harder to tell from the tape. So that part is a little bit frustrating, but I mean, honestly, he just looks like more of a natural football player than I think he did in college. Like, I just didn't see instincts or processing or anything like that. And most of it's coming coverage for Leonard now, but, you know, I think that he's been really good in that way. And so, you know, he's trying to make me look bad, because I had like a fifth round grade on him. And I thought that, you know, they way overreached, and I thought they made a big mistake not taking Fred Warner. Maybe it'll end up being that way because Warner's been so good and he was picked a much later, but it's hard. I mean, Leonard's been good. I mean, and everybody's going to quote the sack numbers. There's been 3 unblocked sacks, you know, so I mean, credit to him for making tackles, but that's a lot of the scheme getting him in the right stuff. I won't even worry about that stuff so much as the plays he's been able to make in coverage, the closing speed, you know, kind of the range. He's moving well. He's shutting down windows. The sideline to sideline range in the run game, still ineffective when teams run at him and challenge him with a more direct attack. But just the progress and the growth he's made, really encouraging. And the pick that I thought Ballard may have messed up, and I even said it wasn't a good start to that second round where they had 4 picks. So far, he's made me look bad with that. Mm-hmm. His acclimation in the NFL has been much quicker. And from everything I've heard, great kid. So really happy for him on that front, because I think he works really hard. And this opportunity for a small school guy is pretty cool to see mm-hmm. him take advantage of it.
Yeah, can't doubt Chris Ballard. I mean, you can't.
Can't. Why? Why?
Because he's handsome.
It's exactly right. Although it should be noted,
handsome GMs, you just can't doubt it.
That's less need. All right, hold. Less need. Can we talk about it?
What about less need?
Less need. Handsome GM. Better looking than most GMs.
I mean, he's not as handsome as Chris Ballard.
Well, sure, but who is?
Now I'm trying to think of.
Certainly not us.
I'm trying to think of like other handsome GMs. We're gonna have to come up with a ranking system, and I'm gonna have to put this in my numerical value system when I'm talking about where prospects go in grading the draft.
Yeah, it's actually very important. If a prospect goes to a place where a handsome GM made the pick, they're automatically stuck up.
You know, I won't the grade won't change, but perhaps the outlook gets a little more bright. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my grade's gonna change.
Can we talk about the situation that the Arizona Cardinals put our boy, Josh Rosen, in? Like, look, man.
Yeah.
I know Baker Mayfield did it on Thursday, but this is not the norm. Like, you can't just.
Yeah.
You can't just look at your top 10 pick and just throw him in there like sure. that out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, it was brutal.
What quarter was it? Was it
it was
the quarter?
4 minutes left of the game. They were down 16-14.
Like, come on, man.
And, like, this isn't some slouch defense. The Bears' defense is phenomenal.
Khalil Mack's on the other side.
I mean, like, this trying is to tough. Kill him? And you've got the worst offensive line maybe in football. I mean, this is a rough spot. So, I mean, yeah, it was I mean, this was trial by fire for Rosen, and saw a couple of his throws. He's zipping the ball around. Definitely better arm strength than Bradford. His interception was late into the fall. I believe it was the opposite sideline from where he was. Not that it matters with the hashes in the NFL, but and he didn't really step into the throw. As I mean, he was getting drilled, he was about to get drilled in the chest, so like I kind of get it, but he didn't really step into the throw, and so it was just a little bit late and a little bit slow getting there and intercepted. Hard to judge
I thought he was fine. I mean, yeah, you know, like it's hard for the judge. Situation as bad as it was, like you said, I thought there were a couple of moments where he was able to you could see that there was a different type of arm that was in there for the Cardinals, which is the main point, which kind of brings me to my ask. I didn't see after the game whether the GM or the coach commented on it, but like, does this mean Rosen's the guy? Like, is Rosen starting
gotta be.
Next?
Gotta be. I mean,
there's no way you can put him in with 4 minutes left in the game and then all of a sudden be like, yeah, we're going to, you know, we're going to go back to the drawing board and, you know, see, you know, evaluate the quarterback position this week. Like, no, you idiot. Like, if you put him in, he's got to be your guy.
Right. I mean,
you have to play Rosen.
It's week. Completely obvious that Bradford shot. Completely obvious. You know, Rosen was very honest after the game. He had a pick six on the last drive, obviously just trying to make something happen. You know, at that point, there was like 30 seconds left or something, and they had a long way to go. But he said after the game, I threw a pick and almost the second pick six, so I've got a lot of work to work on. And I think, you know, always been super honest about his game, which is something you like to see. The issue with Rosen in this fit is, and again, like, I really don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for a guy that I liked or anything. That's why I've basically said nothing about Rosen since he was drafted. But, like, eventually we're going to have to talk about it. And now it's becoming clear the Cardinals are totally dysfunctional. There's a lot of people upset with Wilkes and a lot of decisions he's made already. I think that might be jumping the gun. But Mike McCoy, as offensive coordinator, is just an egregious – I mean, everywhere he's gone has been bad. It's been a mess with quarterbacks.
Boys club.
You know, tons of – yeah, exactly. That's honestly what it is. And it's infuriating because, as an evaluator, like, you obviously – like, we're all hoping Rosen – everybody liked Rosen is hoping Rosen does well. But, like, every quarterback basically lately in the last several years has been bad if they're in a bad situation, right? Like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is – the exception, and obviously he's going to be one of the top five quarterbacks of all time. So it's just kind of, you know, there's just not a lot to get excited about here. Like, I want to get excited about Josh Rosen, but the offensive line's horrible, and Fitzgerald's going to retire after this season, and the defense has, you know, is rebuilding in some ways, but, like, Reddick can't even get on the field, and that's one of their, like, that should be one of their building block pieces right now. And Marcus Golden hasn't been the same, and, you know, Kim Dichie's finally starting to flash, but they just so many misses. Brandon Williams, you taking him a corner, and I don't even know if he made the team, I think, but he's, like, barely, I mean, he's not rosterable in most situations, and there's just been so many mistakes. And then, you know, your GM's getting a DUI or whatever it was, and you're getting suspended, and they're just a mess, man. Just an absolute mess.
The good thing is that Rosen will be able to throw the ball to DK Metcalf next year. So, I mean, that'll be good.
Let us hope. But when you're picking first overall, which I think the Cardinals will be, unlikely.
You think?
They're the worst team in football. Well, I mean, right? Who's worse than the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Are they good at anything? I mean, Chandler Jones. But I can't think of anybody that's worse than them.
They got to sign Bones Jones, his brother, to play D-end on the other side.
Don't think it'll help.
Honestly, it might.
It'll help.
It can't get worse.
Yeah, that's true. It can't get worse.
We got to touch on Calvin Ridley, right?
Oh, my.
I mean, wide receiver one doing wide receiver one things, right?
I mean, I had Anthony Miller wide receiver one, but I had Ridley a very close wide receiver two.
You did have Ridley wide receiver one?
Very close wide receiver two.
You coward. You're telling me that you watched Ridley's tape.
What's your issue with Anthony Miller?
Put him as the top man?
No, what's your issue with Anthony Miller?
You're afraid to be great. You are just so afraid to be great.
I think they were like one spot apart on my
board. You listened to Kyle after the combine, and he loved Anthony Miller, and you were like, man, I'm gonna agree with Kyle because he's smart. And he is smart, but you both are afraid to be great.
I liked Anthony Miller more than Kyle. Kyle had Cortland Sutton, wide receiver one, and I had him in the fourth round. So, so much for listening to Kyle.
Well, Kyle.
Am I saying his name right?
No, you said Kyle right there.
Kyle. I'm intentionally saying it wrong.
Well, Kyle didn't have Calvin Ridley wide receiver one either, which means, you know, as we go to the porch here, what's the answer? Coward. There it is.
Joe didn't either, so drag him. Go ahead.
Oh, TDN stands for the Draft Coward Network. It's all one word there in the middle.
Take the C right out.
No.
I don't even need it.
I loved Calvin Ridley at Alabama. I thought for three straight years, he put up as good of tape as you could want from freshman to his junior year, looking at the type of situation that he was in at Alabama for those 3 years. I mean, you got to remember, it's not the same offense that you're watching week to week here now with Tua in a quarterback. Like, Jalen Hurts was the quarterback. Who was the quarterback his freshman year? Was it
I have no clue.
Was it Blake Sims? Was it Sims?
No, it was that Jake Coker or whatever.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, just super subpar quarterback play basically for his entire 3 years. But I think throughout the opportunities that he had, the production was decently there when the ball was arriving to him. And he did a lot of the little things really well without the ball. I thought he was a fantastic route runner. I thought he had great feet. I thought he was great near the sidelines. He had good balance. He had strong hands. Fantastic route runner in and out of his routes. And that's all I needed to see from him. I really did. So I know the combine.
Wasn't even bad. I'll never understand. I don't get it.
It wasn't like, bad, but like
he ran a 4.4. What do we care about?
Yeah, but I mean, people got on, what was it, the jumps, and then
I don't think he even jumped. I'm looking right now.
He jumped like 30 inches.
He had like a bad three cone and a good short shuttle, or vice versa, one of those things. I'm looking right now. He had a terrible short shuttle, and his three cone was in the 61st.
I think that
he had bad jumps. He jumped 31 in the vert.
Right.
Who cares? He didn't win in the air.
Well, this is the thing. When people have a guy, especially over the last couple of years where we have seen absolute freak wide receivers be picked, when you have a guy that you're touting as the number one wide receiver in a class, even though you might like the tape a lot, I think people have a tendency, I'm not saying you or any of the TDN dudes because they didn't have Ridley number one. I'm just saying in general.
And I was like with you, and I know Kyle and Joe were a little bit lower on Ridley, but I was super high on Ridley like you. So even though I didn't have wide receiver one, I'm completely with you on this. I just want to throw that in there.
I think that in general, when you see a guy have subpar performances at multiple drills throughout the combine, that really is a downer for what you might have gone into the weekend with, even though you might have liked the tape, just because I think we have programmed in our minds, hey, freak wide receivers are the best in the NFL. So maybe if this guy didn't do as well as you thought he did at the combine overall, maybe he'll be a nice receiver, but not the top wide receiver. And
sure.
I kind of thought about that as the offseason went on and after the combine with Calvin Ridley. But every time I kind of went back to his tape after the combine, I was like, no, this guy's good, and he's going to be really good. And when Atlanta picked him, I went, man, what a spot.
Okay, but we got to talk about that, right? Because, like, that matters. I mean,
come on.
I mean, if Anthony Miller were in Atlanta, he'd be doing big things too.
100%. I mean, they finally found a number two wide receiver in Julio Jones. What? Sorry.
hey, show me the totally lie from this box score.
Totally Ridley,
seven catches, 146 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Folks, yeah. No, I love Anthony Miller as well. And I think Atlanta, I'm not totally just ignoring that fact. Atlanta would have been a good spot for basically any of the top wide receivers at all. So, but it's great to see Ridley going off the way he is.
To wrap this up, I think it's basically impossible to pick an offensive rookie of the year right now. I mean, anything we say is going to sound ridiculous. They're just, I mean, Ridley had this great game, so maybe honestly that might be enough.
It's going to be Quentin Nelson.
Philip Lindsay was probably one of the top choices. He wasn't even drafted.
Didn't he get kicked out?
He got thrown out of the game today for throwing a punch at a fumble scrum.
He wants Canelo. He wants Canelo in the ring.
He honestly looks like he could take him. He's feisty.
I wonder what the weight class is there. He probably weighs way more than Canelo.
I don't even know. But I mean, it's, you know, I mean, Baker, great performance the other night, but there just hasn't been enough. No consistent body of work from any offensive rookie so far, I think. Will Disley, I mean, you know what I mean? So,
Will Disley.
If you had to pick a defensive rookie of the year right now. Shout out Mayock, man.
Shout out.
Yes, fair. If you had to pick a defensive rookie of the year right now, who would it be? I already have my pick. I'm just seeing if you end up picking the same.
Then you don't put me on the spot like that. You say your
I wanted
pick.
To see if you would answer the same as me, because I feel like when I say my pick, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Malik Hooker. Pass. Sorry. What? You do it first. I know. I'm just kidding.
Derwin James.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously. Sorry.
That's what I thought you
were Sorry. Saying. Yeah. It has to be Derwin. He's a freak.
And there's been a ton of defensive rookies that, I mean, we mentioned Leonard. We mentioned Warner. Chubb had another sack today. Landry's been effective.
I guess Minka could.
But Minka's been good, but Derwin's been more impactful. And let's be honest. Like, let's just say it. Statistics matter for these awards. So obviously that should be a part of what you know, you have to be productive to win these awards. I don't think you can just have, like, 150 tackles and not like be productive and make impact plays.
Yeah, Derwin's.
I mean, he kept the Rams would have been way further ahead in this game if he hadn't picked off that pass in the end zone.
Where did you have Derwin ranked?
Like,
did you
probably still too low, like 16, I think, on my board.
He was 16 on your board?
I think he was.
Hold
16,
on, I'm looking. Yeah. I'm looking.
Probably start talking
so we don't have
Teddy. Four or five players ahead of him are already injured, so I mean, I'm like, well, I don't know what to do about that, but I mean, I had a first round grade on him, so I mean,
hold on. He was number 3 overall for me.
He was? Number 3?
Number 3 overall.
Well, you are looking
Quinn Nelson, Roquan Smith, Derwin James.
You're looking very smart, sir. Actually, I'm curious to see how Roquan did today. I didn't really care about his first start because he's still barely been practicing with the ones. But
four was Darius Geis, RIP.
Okay, yeah, that's Geis, okay. And Isaiah Wynn were ahead of him for me. I'm trying to think who else. Ronald Jones was one spot ahead of him, if I remember correctly, which is probably wild. Oof. I'm not taking an L yet, but I mean, again, everybody liked Ronald Jones, so I don't know.
Yeah. That was rough. Yeah, it's rough. It's been a rough start. It's been a rough start.
Le'Veon Bell coming to save the day. Wait it out. Wait it out. It's coming. But anyway,
I don't really know how the arrival of Bell is going to help Ronald Jones continue to be on this football team.
No.
You know?
Yeah, well, yeah, that, no. I mean, help save the day for the Bucs. But yeah, Ronald Jones. Got to get him on. Has he been active yet?
Has not.
Okay. Is he going to be active tomorrow, today?
No.
Oh, boy.
No.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, there you go. Derwin, our pick for Defensive Rookie of the Year right now. And there's a lot of good choices, but, man, he's just been, I don't know. I've gotten to catch a lot of their games, but he's absolutely everywhere. He's awesome. So, there you go. There's our thoughts on rookie performances. I know we didn't get to everybody. We will eventually, folks. We'll be able to touch on all your favorite rookies by the end of the season. Lots of performances to get to. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.